on Lunch Hour, talking about what you want to be talking about. Light Fare,
with a serious spin, whether it be sports, faith, parenting,
balance, relationships, education, community, coaching,
starting over, how do you reboot yourself,
ministry, relevant, resonant, and real.
Whatever it is, we want to talk about it.
Call in, ask us questions, be anonymous.
Senior moments.
What would you tell your teenage self?
Whatever it is, join us on Wednesdays.
Wildin' Out Wednesdays?
Absolutely.
Join us. I'm Jackie.
I'm Karen.
Write it down. 1450 AM, WOL.
Noon to 1. Hey, this is Conversation with Jackie and Karen. Hey, Jackie, how you doing? Jackie, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Karen, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been an eventful week.
And it's just Wednesday. It is just Wednesday. No, my phone buzzes every time I get something new happening in the news, and there's just so much going on.
There is.
I just want to turn it off.
Exactly.
Can I just turn it off?
But, you know, one of the things that I did want to share, and we invite our listeners to give us a quick call at 1-800-450-7876 if they want to weigh in on this. But the suit in New Jersey, and again, this is my home state, and I can't believe it. Again, we just everything seems to be centered around New Jersey all of a sudden. But this young lady, 18, suing her parents for support. She's requesting legal fees as well as monthly support for tuition, for college tuition and things of that nature. She's 18 years old. She's been staying at friends' house, one of whom is a freeholder in New Jersey who's been bankrolling this since she left out in November on her own free will. Her father is a former police chief, and you know how I know that rolls. That's not going to go over well. And her parents' position is she left on her own. She's 18 years old. She wouldn't follow the rules. Why should they have to pay?
Well, in reality, it's called an emancipated minor.
Mm-hmm.
And when you emancipate yourself from your parents, it means that you are free to, one, get a job,
mm-hmm.
two, hold a job, three, find an apartment, four, get means of transportation, buy your own food and your own clothes, and cook your own meals. 18-year-olds are not considered legal adults to the full extent of what it means to be a legal adult.
Mm-hmm.
A legal adult means you're 21, you can vote beyond the ages, you can drink, you can get a job, you can open a bank account. She's not ready to be emancipated minor.
Exactly.
And by no stretch of the imagination, if she's suing her parents, I thought you were going to say something along the lines of, you know, she's a famous athlete,
no.
and her parents, she's a budding star.
No.
Her parents have been mooching off of her,
no.
and now she wants something in return.
Nothing.
I know plenty of athletes who are young who have done that because
right.
their parents haven't been, you know, forthcoming about all of the things that their guidelines say in their contract.
Right.
But if you're going to be Susie Q.
Right.
On your own.
Correct.
Emancipate yourself and move on.
And the thing about it is it goes to show how different things work in different households, because I know the moment I stepped out of the door at my household, because we laugh about it today, all these years later, there are two locks on my parents' door, the regular key lock and the deadbolt lock. And we still don't have a key to the deadbolt lock.
And typically that lock locks from the inside.
That's right.
Well, it'll be interesting. You're listening to Conversations with Jackie and Karen. If you would like to weigh in on our emancipated minor who is suing her parents for support, by all means, please give us a call, 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876. Now, this is truly a wilding out Wednesday,
yes.
because that has to be the best story I've heard today.
I'm telling you. That's crazy. And it kind of goes into who our guest is, Jackie, if you want to go into it, since we're talking about youth and who's on right now, if you want to go into it.
Well, our guest today is none other than Omarosa. She is a personal friend. Love this dear sister. So excited to have her joining us today, in the sense that many people will remember her from her role on The Apprentice, how she was the first and only person to be invited back, you know, to The Apprentice. I mean, we applauded her during that season for standing up for what she believed, and she also fights for the rights of others, and looking so forward to talking to her today you know, as we discuss her previous political career that she had ever mm-hmm. before, she was on The Apprentice, and then now what she is pursuing as it relates to another shot and spot at doing things to help her state of California. So we look forward to talking to Omarosa when she calls in today.
She's in. How you doing, Omarosa?
You're here?
Good morning.
Yes, I'm here. Good morning. Now, Omarosa is on the West Coast. We didn't wake you up, did we?
Oh, no. You know, when you run it for office, you wake up fundraising and you go to sleep fundraising.
Absolutely.
24/7.
We are excited that you are here to talk to us today because our audience loves you.
Yes.
As you know, you have been a part of the Radio 1, TV 1 family for quite some time now. And you are taking who you are and what you believe to an entirely different level. Tell us a little bit about the position that you're running for now and how it came about. And then I want to kind of back into that politics is not your first rodeo.
It's not my first rodeo. Yes, I was in the White House under the Clinton administration. But thank you so much, Jackie, for having me on. I'm excited to talk to both of you all and to your listeners. You know, after Michael died, my fiance died in 2012, I wanted to do something that made me happy, that helped me through my grieving process. And so I actually went back into the classroom and became a certified special education substitute teacher here in Los Angeles. And truly working with children has been a passion of mine. I teach at Howard University. I've been teaching what I call the 13th grade for a long time. You know, when you get to freshmen, you know, they think they know everything. They think they're grown, but I've been teaching for a long time. And now I'm on the board of the Howard University Executive MBA program. I teach in the MBA program. And so, I've been in education for a long time. But after Michael died, I went back into the classroom, and I just really enjoyed it. The kids, that you can't be sad around kids, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. True.
They lift your spirit in ways that, you know, other things can't. And so in the course of doing that, I became very aware of the issues that are going on in the Los Angeles school system. You see firsthand, you know, what's lacking and what's not lacking. So then in December of last year, the only African-American woman on the L.A. school board had a heart attack and died. And it was very, very tragic for our community, tragic for the school district as a whole. And so, you know, there was this whole campaign to have somebody appointed to her seat. And the board decided in January that they would have a special election. And many members of my congregation felt that, you know, the candidates that were coming forward at that point, there were probably 9 or 10 candidates, that none of them really represented their interests, or they didn't think that they could be an advocate for their kids. And so members of my congregation said, Reverend O, you should run for the seat. You would represent us well, and you know our kids, you know our issues, you've been in the classroom. And so I answered their call to action. And so, yes, I am running for the Los Angeles School Board for seat 1, and it is a special election. So it's only a 4 or 5 month campaign. And so I had to hit the ground running, Jackie.
Well, one of the things, Omarosa, this is Karen, that I appreciate, because I was a special ed teacher as well, too. And even though when you don't have your own children and you're in the classroom, you develop that appreciation for the issues that a lot of people don't really think about in terms of lack of supplies, lack of attention, lack of literally the amount of money that goes to our school systems and the disparity between and the disconnect between parental involvement and things of that nature. I know that Marguerite, whose seat this election is for, when she passed, she was really a very stalwart proponent on parental engagement. And you are known for, you know, holding your own and battling and speaking up for the disengaged and disenfranchised. What will you do that brings that spark, that difference, not just by your presence, but by your commitment to young people to this seat?
Well, you mentioned Marguerite. She was a strong sister.
Yes.
I mean, quite an advocate for our children. very, very tough. You know, she wouldn't take any mess. She fought very hard for our children. And I believe that this seat should be filled by another African-American woman who is a fighter, who has a voice, and, you know, and who has some influence to be able to shine light in dark places. I think that a person who steps in this position has to be prepared for a battle, because a lot of fiscal decisions have been made while the seat has kind of set vacant. Very, very big decisions, million-dollar decisions about technology, innovation, modernizing schools, you know, that sort of thing. And so when people ask, oh, you know, what do you bring to the table that's different than the other 12 candidates that are in the race, you know, my leadership skills are second to none. I mean, I have been in a position to negotiate million-dollar deals, to do it under the scrutiny of 28 million people at one point. You know what you get with me. You know that I am not going to cower. Nobody's going to push me around. Nobody's going to walk over me. And if you want somebody that's going to advocate for your kids without worrying about, are they going to be able to handle the political aspect of this position? Because you have to have political skills to be able to maneuver. It takes four votes to get anything done on this particular board, and I have those relationships, I have the political skills, and I have the know-it-all to get it done. And so I believe that that's what differentiates me from the other 12 candidates.
The other thing, too, is prior to her passing, I know that board was locked in on, you know, just bickering back and forth and infighting over, you know, clashing over iPads and how much they will cost and things of that nature. But one thing, like you said, you know, folk know what they get with you, but more importantly, they know your heart. They know how passionate you are about what you believe in and what you're committed to. They also know that in addition to you're not cowering, you're fair. That you don't have a problem with bargaining and negotiating for a better solution. And perhaps Jackie, maybe on the other side of the break, Omarosa, you can kind of give our listeners just what that involves, because, you know, you're part of the Clinton administration. You know what it takes to negotiate, not just million-dollar deals, but to negotiate and build relationships with people so that you can negotiate.
Well, do I have time before we go to break to respond to that?
Quickly, yes. You have a minute, and then we'll come back.
I thought you said on the other side of the break.
Yeah, because I think that is going to take longer than a minute.
Okay, cool.
We'll go into our break.
I'm sorry, me and my long questions. I'm like, I'm trying to get to it.
That's not a problem, because I think that's something that people need to hear. We always talk about the importance of working and running at the local level. Mm-hmm. And so I think this gives us a segue into what we need to hear to inform and educate our audience. We'll be back on the other side of the break. You're listening to Conversations with Jackie and Karen.
With Conversation with Jackie and Karen, we're on with Omarosa, who's running for school board with the Los Angeles Unified School District. Omarosa, I'm sorry for the break, but if you can just share with us what it takes to build relationships so that you can get things done on behalf of young people.
Well, I have made it a point to be as vocal as possible about the importance of technology. And you mentioned the iPad debacle in LAUSD. Just so that your listeners know, they've elected to spend $1 billion on iPads. I'm not opposed to our children having technology, but just one technology, I believe, limits. And just so you know, also, I have a background in telecom policy, doctoral studies at Howard University, centered on that. And I got a chance to work in NTIA during the Clinton administration in the Department of Commerce on digital divide issues. And so certainly our children need to have innovative curriculum. We're incorporating a thing called Common Core Standards, which will all be on the iPad. However, I think that you also have to understand the technology. Some of the other candidates that are running don't even use email, you know. And this is not a dig at anyone that's over 70, but I believe that, you know, there's two candidates that are running that are over 70, and they're the most experienced. But I believe that you would not allow your child to be taught by a teacher that doesn't know how to use email, or who doesn't know how to use an iPad, or who doesn't know how to use a computer for that matter.
Yes, smart boards in the classroom are a way in which our students learn. So not being able to
use that technology or have an understanding of it would make it extremely difficult, especially with textbooks now that come with CDs and DVDs to enhance the learning of our children.
Not to mention that...
Exactly. And to that point, you would not want a bootlegger.
Right. And technology is a form of communicating and communication to our young people. That's how you connect.
Absolutely. I do this all the time because they're saying, oh, we're going to take back the iPad thing. I thought, have you ever tried to take an iPad from a 6-year-old? You can't even pry it out of their hand.
And be careful, Omarosa, your connection is a little, it goes in and out. So go ahead.
This generation is native to the technology. You know, we're the ones that are visiting foreigners to the technology. They're native. They were born utilizing the technology, I've had my 2-year-old nephew pick up the iPad and how to enlarge the pictures to open apps, close apps. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's incredibly important that we also look at the capabilities of the other candidates, that they're able to understand the technology before they make a $1 billion decision on the technology. And certainly my experience in the White House leads me to understand that you have to work with people collectively, one who understands how to get policy pushed through. It is a tenuous process, but also how to build coalitions and relationships so that you can get exactly what your constituents need. And that's why I'm in this race. I believe I'm able to get that done for the people in District 1.
Oh, absolutely. I think that you being in the race also opens up the dialogue and understanding of the need for an understanding that it takes all types of people to be on a school board, because each child has something different. You mentioned special needs. We have children in our classroom who are autistic. We have children in our classroom who also learn differently. And there is something to be said now. And for our listeners, this is not a conversation about ageism. However, when you are representing kids, whether they're in a rural community, an urban setting, or in the suburbs, you've got to know how to relate to not only them, but their parent. Because when you talk about test questions and things of that nature that tend to trip up students from various backgrounds, it becomes important to have an advocate to say, hey, let's stop teaching to the test. Let's begin to impart real knowledge that can be transferred to other grades and other situations in their lives so that real learning takes place. And the school board is one of the areas where many people don't seek to run. Everybody wants to run for some other office other than the local school board.
Jackie, we're going to have, Omarosa is going to have to call back in because her line dropped. But yeah, to that point, we also want to make sure that our listeners understand that we are very much proponents of down ballot races. We talk about, you know, don't just show up for federal and presidential races, show up on those down ballot races. And here we have a young woman who we all know is a household name, but we're trying to let folk understand and know there's more to her than what's on the editing showroom on television. She is a scholar. She is ordained. She has worked in the White House. She was one of the few African-American women who started out, I believe, as a fellow. And so when you talk about credentials, she stands head and shoulders above probably the other 12 persons who are running for the seat.
Oh, absolutely. They don't hand out presidential appointments. Mm-mm. Like you go through the drive-thru and they pass you your order. It's not something, I like to order up 2 appointments in my lifetime.
Exactly.
That doesn't happen.
Exactly.
You must be a person of credibility and know-how in order to be associated with the White House at that level. And then also to work under the Gore and Clinton administration speaks to her ability to understand common people's issues.
Exactly. And like we're saying, you know, there's more to her than what folk have seen what's edited on television. And this is a woman of substance, of character, of integrity. And we have to get behind her in doing whatever is necessary to help her secure this seat, because it's vitally important that people understand what it takes to make the commitment to even run, to put yourself out there. it's more to her than just meets the eye. And I understand she's back. Hello,
Omarosa. Yeah, I am back. Oh, not a problem. No, and we were just having this conversation about the value of who you are as a person. You know, we know you personally. So there's more to Omarosa than, as Karen so eloquently put it, what is on the editing floor in Hollywood.
I think it's important that people realize just because I was on a reality show does not disqualify me from running for a public office. I hear my opponents saying, well, she's famous, and she's, you know, I'm like, okay, so was Arnold Schwarzenegger or Ronald
Right,
Reagan.
And Ronald Reagan, who ran for president. You know, there are many people in Hollywood who had lives, you know, before and after, you know, their political stint. And we were talking about the value of your appointment, that it's not like you go through the drive through and say, hey, I'd like to, you know, order up 2 appointments in my lifetime. You know, you just don't hand out appointments to the White House. There has to be substance and credibility and intellect behind a person who 2 administrations in the White House.
I think also my relationship with Christ is probably the most substantial credential that I have. You know, I know that there's separation of church and state, but our children need somebody who has a relationship with God. I mean, after I've observed as much as I've observed in the classroom, there needs to be an intervention that's bigger than just who I am. And so I need to bring all of that into this role and into this position. But also the Black church has always served as a significant resource and as a wonderful supporter of education. And so my partnership with the Los Angeles Baptist Ministers Conference, I think, is key. The brothers in the ministries and the sister in the ministries have certainly gotten behind me. And they're able to reach their congregation when we have important funding issues. But one also important point that I want to say to you all, running for office is not an easy feat. And everybody's saying, well, why did you run for just school board? I didn't enter this thing, but like some of my other opponents thinking, oh, I'm going to run for Congress next, or I'm going to run for mayor next. I solely stepped up to the plate because, you know, our sister passed away, and there needed to be someone who would be a good steward in this position. And that's truly why I decided to run, Karen and Jack.
Well, it makes perfectly good sense. And you bring up a valid point about faith, because whether people talk about being Christian or believers or not, it is the prism through which we make our decisions. And sometimes decisions are not as clear-cut as black and white. Sometimes decisions cannot be made based on the almighty dollar. There has to be some guidance and direction of a person in leadership at whatever level to say, you know, how does this look in the long run? And then what am I doing to really prepare these students for a better future? And that's not to be taken lightly. And oftentimes it requires prayer and meditation and, you know, tears and consternation, you know, about the decision. You have to labor intensively about decisions that will impact our children and their future.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I have to tell you, you find out closely who your friends are when you decide to run for office. You find out who's in your corner and who's not. And I'm so fortunate that so many of my friends have said, where can I volunteer? What can I do? How can I help? It has made all the difference for me because it is very, very stressful, and it's very difficult to understand how to navigate. You know, I've had to hire 3 different attorneys just to understand the
election laws. Yeah.
I mean, even just setting up a website, there's things you can do, things you can't do, getting your petitions, all of that. I mean, it's been incredible for me understanding this process, because I've always been on the federal level on the political piece. Local politics is a trip.
Yeah, getting, you know, individuals, because, you know, everybody has an agenda. And I think, as you stated, there are certain things that you find out, not only who your friends are, but what are some of the hidden agendas and also the hidden culture and the politics in your local area. Because those things don't just leap out at you, you know, when you're going to visit a classroom or you're going to regular PTA. This takes engagement to an entirely different level. Now, this isn't your first time being involved in politics, but it is your first time running for an office. What would you share with individuals, especially young people who say, you know, I want to, you know, get involved in our local school board, or I'm thinking about running, you know, for another office? How do they make that decision? What have you learned that you could share with our audience?
First of all, I've learned that there are people who are terrified to be in a public space. And as a result, a lot of the feedback that I've gotten has been, oh, it's going to be so tough. They're going to do this to you, and they're going to do that to you. Well, I don't operate from a place of fear. And so if there are young folks who want to run for office, I say do it. Don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to the people who are going to tell you how terrible and awful and scary it's going to be. Life itself is terrible, awful, and scary at times, but we still push on. And so that's the first thing. Don't allow negative voices to cloud your decision to run and serve your community. Your community needs you. They need you to be in service, because so many people are discouraged to be a part of the process. We end up with very mediocre leadership. Mm. And that's not a dig at anybody in my district. I'm just saying, because other folks who are very qualified and who would otherwise provide great leadership have been so discouraged from being a part of it, you know, we end up with folks who don't always represent us the best. That's number one. Number two, you have to start preparing now to understand the issues. I'm very well versed on what's happening politically, what's happening on an educational reform perspective, but there's still so much to know and so much to learn. And so I'm constantly reading, studying, and preparing. I always say, you know, you may raise more money than me, you may have be more popular, but you will never outwork me. No one will outwork me in this space. I'm adequately prepared, and I understand intimately, because I'm a product of public schools, what these decisions and how these decisions have an effect on us. And then lastly, you know, start building your relationships now. I've benefited greatly from, you know, from just having substantial relationships. And as a result, my relationships have sustained me. And so when I call a friend and say, hey, you know, I'm doing a campaign, you know, I'm raising low dollars because it's local. So I've been asking for all my friends for $25.
Omarosa, can you hold it right there? Because we want to talk about the fundraising piece on the other side, how we can support you. And we'll be right back with Conversation with Jackie and Karen.
Thank you.
This is Conversation with Jackie and Karen. We invite you to give us a call at 1-800-450-7876. And our guest is Omarosa, who is running for Los Angeles Unified School District School Board. Omarosa, we were talking a little bit before the break about fundraising and how you had, you know, spoke to your friends and invited, you know, low dollar contributions. But can you share with us how folk can contribute? What's the process? Where's the website? What we can do?
I have made it easy as possible for people to help me. I'm utilizing a democratic software called Actblue, and it allows you to give right on your phone, your iPad.
Can you repeat that, because you're fading in and out again? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, because you know, I'm driving.
Right.
It's Omarosa 2014.
Omarosa's not driving. She's being driven. Just so that our listening audience understands. Omarosa is not driving. She's riding in a car that is moving. Okay? We do not condone people talking on their cell phones while they're driving. She is riding in a car with someone else who is driving for this interview listening audience.
No, it's absolutely true. I'm so grateful that I don't have to drive. That's true, because I would have, you know, who knows, my demise would have come quick. You can go to omarosa2014.com, omarosa2014.com. And right on the page, as soon as you open it up, you'll see the button that says contribute. It is the easiest software you'll ever interact with. It literally takes 2 minutes, and I'm asking folks to give what you can. You can give $10, you can give $25. The maximum amount, of course, is $1,100 per person. But anything that you give will certainly help. I truly am fighting for our children. Black and brown children in my district are disproportionately dropping out of school, are not being funded, do not have the textbooks that they need, and certainly need leadership in this time. And so in the absence of our sister, Marguerite Lamont, I ask that you will support me, that you will walk with me, that you stand with me. And I need to point out, you don't have to live in Los Angeles to give.
don't have to, you know, you can live anywhere in the United States, and you can contribute to this fight for our kids. So Omarosa2014.com. Click on the contribute button. I literally will take whatever you offer. It will go toward a very good cause. We are fighting every single day, and this is a grassroots campaign, and it requires and it depends on support from folks like you all.
Oh, absolutely. Let me ask you a quick question. Are you the only candidate who's going to have a single name on the ballot? It's just going to say Omarosa.
I've had to adopt the last name. Legally, you can't even just put your first name on. We could ask so that you know.
Yeah, I figured that it would be illegal, but people would definitely know that it's Omarosa.
Well, even when I go petitioning, I like to go door-to-door. I spend at least 4 hours a day going door-to-door in the district. It is remarkable. There's people from all over, all different backgrounds, also social economic backgrounds. They're like, Omarosa. And so the response has been wonderful. Just getting to connect with people on a very personal level. They invite me into their home. Karen, I eat so much while I'm campaigning. Everybody wants to offer you a meal. They want you to come in and sit down. And I've just enjoyed it so much. I was in a part of my district where it's a large Hispanic community. And the guy says, oh, I'm going to make empanadas for you. I said, oh, I've got to see this. He made handmade empanadas. And my team was saying, oh, we got another 2 hours to go. I said, we aren't going anywhere. I'm going to sit here and eat empanadas.
Well, I know Jackie and Omarosa, when we had the event a couple of years ago for Jude, St. Jude, and Omarosa, you met my niece, who was, I think, 6 or 7 at the time. And the impression that you made on her just at that young age, just by an introduction, speaks to your heart. Because, you know, children are attracted to who they believe is responsive to them. And certainly you have a heart for this endeavor that you're embarking on now. But what I want to kind of do is trail back to, I know what's very, very prevalent in our school systems now is the issue of bullying. And how that's taking a toll on not just the emotional and physical aspect of integration of a child's learning, but also their social integration as well, too. Can you kind of speak to that, even if it's just from an aerial point of view, about that issue and your position on it?
Well, Karen, you know, in the classroom, I observe a lot of intimidation by other students. I don't tolerate it. Unfortunately, as a sub, I'm only in the classroom 1 or 2 days a week, and so I'm not their primary teacher. But the moment that I see it, and that is the key, recognizing it, because you can intimidate with a look. You can intimidate with just a word. It doesn't always have to be physical. One of my students, oh my God, he was so incredibly adorable, but he was so withdrawn. And I removed him out into the hallway and I said, what's the problem? And he says, well, at lunch, you know, this group generally will, you know, push me around or whatever, you know, the old, they're going to take my lunch from me kind of situation. And I said, don't worry, this is going to be your first lunch where, you know, Miss Owen, this is not going down on this old watch.
Not on your watch. Not on your watch.
Not on my watch. The three kids that were, in fact, intimidating him, I talked to one of them. And unfortunately, he was bullied, too. And so it was just a continuum.
Yeah.
He was doing what was done to him. And so we have to, one, make sure our teachers are trained, our principals, our administrators who are in the classrooms, on the front line with our children, that they're trained to recognize the signs of bullying and that they can also find ways to mitigate it without making the student who's being victimized become further victimized. Because even when the person speaks up, they get bullied more or they get intimidated more. And so there has to be strategies that are put in place so that our young people are in an environment that is conducive for their learning, that they feel safe, that they're in an environment that's not just safe but clean as well. Our schools are falling apart.
But on the bully pit, I'm going to tell you, if the teachers are on their job, if they keep a keen eye, then we can eradicate 90% of the bullying alone.
Just by being well-trained, astute, and engaged, you've got to be plugged into your young people.
I'm in the classroom for the first 10, 15 minutes, and I can point out the strong personalities who may be taking advantage of others.
The other thing, too, is as a school board member as well, too, and Jack, we were talking about this a couple shows down, but, you know, the lack of parental engagement is having a big impact across the board in a number of arenas, on a number of fronts, but particularly in our schools. And I'm wondering, I know how open you are as a person. You're very open naturally, but will you be interacting with parents as well, too, to kind of, you know, walk them through the engagement process on it being a two-way street between when you're elected as the school board member, as the representative for parents, student engagement, et cetera?
Certainly. First of all, as a board member, I want to be held accountable. I want to be held to the fire. Everything that I say that I'm going to do, I want to make sure that the parents...
We're breaking up again. We're breaking up.
Hold me exactly to that.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, understanding why parent engagement is low. Most of the parents in my district can't come to campus because they're working two or three jobs. Understanding that means that I have to take the district to them, Karen.
Say that. Say that.
I have to take the board to them. I can't expect that the parents are going to come see me at 1 o'clock in the afternoon when they're working. That means I have to set up parent engagement meetings in the evening so that these parents can get plugged in. Understanding your parents and why they aren't as engaged as possible, I think it's so incredibly important. And as I talk to them, they tell me, quite frankly, it's not that I don't want to be there for my kids, it's that I can't because I'm trying to provide for them. Yes, I want parents to be engaged. Yes, I want them to be at every PTA meeting. Yes, I want them to be at every board meeting. But that's just not realistic. And so working together to provide opportunities for our parents to be engaged or to give feedback, even if that's online, on a website, through email, through blog, that is the key to leadership, identifying the need and providing an opportunity for these parents to be in their children's educational development process and growth. That's what I would do as a board member. I'm going to take the district to the parents.
Well, it sounds like that's the way that it should be, because innovation has always been the key that drives everything. You can't assume that everybody can be where you want them to be when you need them to be there. And I think that that position is one that speaks volume to your selflessness and your desire to see change come about, especially in how the school board sees its role as it relates to connecting with parents and families. Because without them working together, if there's not cohesion in that regard, then it makes it difficult to determine where the needs really lie and then being able to meet that need so that everyone succeeds.
You know, and I've been to quite a few parent meetings in the last 6 months. And some of the other folks complain, oh, look, there's only 14 parents here, or there's only 5 parents here. I believe in as a pastor, ministering to the folks who are in the pew right at that moment, because they can take the word back to, you know, their peer group, or they can take it back to other parents. And so I'm never, ever just looking at the number. I'm looking at the opportunity to touch each and every one of the parents. And I certainly don't want to bemoan the point to your listeners who are at home saying, why are we talking about the school board so long? It's about all children. Even if you're not in my district, understand. And Jackie and I are together. Thank you, Jackie, for engaging me in the St. Jude Sunday of Hope campaign. I'm so proud to be an ambassador. We have to be, you know, fighters and championing for children, not just in my district, but in your district as well. If you're listening and you're a parent and you're wondering, well, how do I get involved with my local school board? How do I get plugged in? I believe that you've got the whole school board
feet to the fire. You got to make sure that they're accountable for everything that they said they're going to do. And if you can't make it to the board meetings, write them a letter. Send them an email. You know, pick up the phone and call them. Trust me, it affects their decision-making process, and you can affect change for your children.
Well, you know, that saying is absolutely true. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that's a part of the essence of this dialogue that we're having today. There has to be some care of people on the school board for the children and their families. Otherwise, you're just another person on top or on the side of the letterhead who's making decisions uninformed. You have to be informed. You have to be engaged. You have to be able to put your finger on the pulse of the people who are sending their children to the teachers every day. More parents are away now than ever before from their children. 8, 10, 12 hours a day with early school lunches and after school activities. Who's raising my kid? And if you're not the person who's doing it, then do you have a board member who's advocating for your child when you're not there? And that's what this dialogue is all about.
Oh, absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break. Omar, one quick.
I don't want to lose you all. I know that I'm about to go into an area in the canyon where things are going to get a little tricky. And so I just really want to thank you all for allowing me to come on. I encourage each of your listeners, if they can, to just go to my website and look at my position and just to really, if you can, support my campaign. I'm very passionate about the work that I'm doing here in LAUSD. I'm very passionate about serving this community. And I thank you for this opportunity to just talk about this journey that I'm on.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us.
We appreciate you.
And we'll be back on the other side of the break. You're listening to Conversation with Jackie and Karen.
Back where we had a great conversation with Omarosa, who is running for school board of Los Angeles Unified School District, and we thank her, and we invite our listeners to go to omarosa2014.com and make a contribution if you're so inclined. I know I will by the end of the day. But more importantly, Jackie, I think that this speaks to the caliber of involvement that we must have for our young people, but in our down ballot races. It is vitally important when you have someone of such passion that's willing to throw themselves into the arena. No matter what the press may say, you know, a lot of people just kind of see, even in your own life, they see the sizzle and the pop, but they don't see the journey. They don't see what it takes to get you to where you seemingly are. And for her to do that speaks volumes, in my opinion, to where we all should aspire to be.
Oh, absolutely. The fact she's running because there was a position that was open. There has to be a heartfelt connection to the work. I'm sure across the country, mm-hmm. people are, you know, haven't vacated their seats because they've passed away or because they've, you know, have fallen ill or their time has come and they no longer want to do it. People leave office for many reasons, but who steps in their space?
Exactly.
It has to be a person who believes in the cause, you know, and wants to carry the torch for the individual who has vacated that seat. You know, we're talking about joining, you know, hashtag Team Omarosa. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, I'm looking at her website, and that's what it says, omarosa2014.com, hashtag Team Omarosa.
That's right.
You know, we're fans ever before there was television. Mm-hmm. And that's because the woman has quality. The woman is smart. The woman is articulate. Vote for her on the merit of her skill set.
Right. Not from what you think you've heard, what you think you know, or what you believe is tabloid driven. And that's one of my pet peeves is how sometimes, often now, we allow tabloids to direct, and even some news outlets to direct our thinking.
Derail our thinking.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
you know, direct and derail.
Direct and derail. And the beauty of this program is that we try to provide our listeners with factual, functional information that they can weed out and discern for themselves and make decisions based upon fact, function, importance, passion, and drive, and what can provoke a commitment to do something greater than ourselves.
Absolutely. I mean, these things are key. We've got so many races coming up. You know, she talked about, you know, understanding the legalese of the ballot itself. Now, if the candidates have to train, prepare, and educate themselves on what it means to hold the position, surely the person who is going to vote them in office can take the time to learn the same. Because you want a candidate who understands what their role and function is and how they can best put into practice how to be your advocate and speak on your behalf. You know, I used to get so tired when we were younger of people coming to our church and to our school and to our community center, you know, who I had never seen before, but only came because they were in office.
Right.
But when you have a person who is running, who is a community person, who is in your classrooms already, who understands what your children have to face every day and has the wherewithal to stand with you to make change happen, that's when you get out to vote.
Exactly. Exactly.
And support financially.
And it's vitally important, because if we don't do it, when is it going to be done? And Jackie, maybe you can text her real quick, because I neglected to ask on my part when the election is. I believe it's coming up next month.
It's in June.
Okay.
It's in June.
Okay.
And
okay.
That's why they are working as diligently as they are now. The seat was recently vacated. That it's been, you know, the time that she said, I believe, 6 months. And then now you have, you know, it's that time. It is that time, you know, for the voting to begin to take place. So there's a lot of community, you know, time spent. She stated going to homes door to door.
Yeah.
You know, speaking to parents, taking the school board to the person.
And the thing about it is, she is a caliber person, a high caliber person. She doesn't have to. It takes an exceptional person to put themselves out here. And it's not like the school board has a great deal of notoriety. You know, often folk go for, again, the sizzle. They go for the high profile position. But we're talking school board. That's where it has the most direct impact on shaping our lifelines, which are our youth. This is something that requires a great deal of fortitude, a great deal of I'm here to help, you know, putting yourself out there in front of parents, in front of teachers, in front of other community leaders for the betterment of our youth and our children is there's no other commitment that has as much impact, in my opinion. It's local. It's all politics is local, and when you get to school board, it can't get more local than that. It's vitally important.
Oh, I agree. And so we've been talking with and about Omarosa as she has, you know, put herself in the position to run for the LA Unified School Board position as in their school district there. And there may be others who are considering, you know, running for office. And so we're Team Omarosa for certain. But at the same time, there are other individuals right here in our region. You know, we're in the DMV, which for our listening audience in other parts of the world, that stands for Maryland, Virginia. In the District of Columbia. We are here advocating for any person who is running for office. And if you're listening, 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876, you're thinking about running for office, you're a local leader who is running for office. If there's something that's going on in your area, we need to know about it. The role and goal of our show is to give you the time that you need in order to be able to advocate for yourself and have other people get behind you if you got something worth getting behind.
Exactly.
And that, you got to have something worth getting behind now.
It's got to be positive. It's got to be positive or it's no go. There's only two people that have to approve you. And we're like,
oh, no, we're sitting right here.
And we're sitting right here.
Yep. So we've been talking a little bit about politics. So let's talk for a minute about the weather. I mean, you know,
one storm, then another storm.
I know that people are sick and tired of snow.
Yes. But Jackie, they said that I was listening to one of the reports that children have missed about 25 days over the past few because of the weather.
Well, you know, they'll be lucky if they get Easter break,
yeah,
spring break,
exactly,
and get out of school on time sometime in June now, because
yeah,
those kids who are getting out in May, those days are over.
Exactly.
So let me just say, while we're talking about school and school board related issues,
mm-hmm,
I'm waiting for someone to tell me that we will no longer have no school because of snow days.
Yeah.
With technology, there is no reason for kids to have snow days.
Mm-hmm.
I am waiting for someone to say, oh, the school building is canceled. I'm going to get online and I'm going to connect with my homeroom class, my science class, my social studies, my history class, my geometry class, my art and music classes, and we are going to have online education. There is no reason for children to be out for snow days.
No. There really isn't.
If you are in a community, every home by now has some technology, whether it is the ability to listen to a recorded lecture, or they can log on live using Blackboard, Illuminate, and any other program that is out there that will gather students together for them to be able to have class. There is no reason in the 21st century that students have snow days, and then we're taking away opportunities for teachers who need time off from their students, and students who need time away from their teachers to have to go to school for extended days, weekends, and extended lengths of time.
Yeah.
I cannot fathom that anymore.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to do something.
Yeah, and on the heels.
That's my rant for the Wednesday.
That's our Wildin' Out Wednesday.
That's my Wildin' Out for Wednesday. Now, I homeschool six kids. My kids are homeschooled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unless the power is out.
Yeah.
It can snow all at once.
Mm-hmm.
They will not have snow days because education is too vitally important.
Yeah, and we'll have to revisit this as well too. We talked about it a little bit with Nafio when Leslie Baskerville was on about our math, science, and technology areas. But we can't afford to have snow days. You're absolutely right. We can't afford not to have any days for our young people to be in school. Too much is at stake. We're behind in too many areas. So that's our rant. In our 1 minute before break, that's our rant for conversation with Jackie and Karen.
I know. I said I was going to get off of that rant because I know how important it is for people to keep their buildings open. And there's a lot of talk that people don't like the idea of, you know, using technology at that level. But technology in the classroom has to now transcend to technology at home.
It has a place.
Technology at home during the bad weather times and storms can actually make a difference between our kids getting burnt out and dropping out.
Absolutely.
And we've got to have a serious conversation about that. So, we're going to be looking for guests who can talk to this issue intelligently and give us some solutions about how to integrate our homes with technology and connect it to their teachers at school.
All right, Jet. Next week.
All right. That's it. We'll talk to you next week. Next week, we are talking to Vanessa Bell Calloway. We're going to be engaged with her on her new show, Dinner and Company with Friends.
Absolutely. Conversation.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
We're on lunch hour, talking about what you want to be talking about. Light Fare.
With a serious spin. Whether it be sports, faith, parenting.
Balance, relationships, education, community. Coaching.
Starting over. How do you reboot yourself?
Ministry. Relevant. Resonant and real.
Whatever it is, we want to talk about it.
Call in. Ask us questions. Be anonymous.
Senior moments.
What would you tell your teenage self?
Whatever it is, join us on Wednesdays.
Wildin' Out Wednesdays?
Absolutely.
Join us. I'm Jackie.
I'm Karen.
Write it down. 1450 AM WOL.
Noon to 1.